The first one was, yeah, the first one is actually in these many words by an employee.
Oh, really? Okay.
An employee of Haptic who, while leaving, he basically said that I'm leaving because, and it was a very calm conversation where he was just like, yeah, you know, it didn't work out. It's like, okay. And, you know, so then I said, chal, you know, tu ja raha hai types. So any feedback for me? I asked this question, any feedback? And I didn't expect this to come, right? I'm like,
unfiltered feedback.
Yeah, this was really unfiltered. I said, ki main feedback bolega, ki chha, type back, karo, kuch karo. I thought ki, something like that. Ki, you know, don't scream so much, just that. So I asked any feedback for me. And he's like, you know, you're not a good leader. I think you are a manager. You are not somebody who knows how to lead.
Hey, Akrit. Thanks for agreeing to do this.
Hi, Aviral. Hi, Maze. Yeah, what else do I have to do on a Sunday?
Awesome. What's one truth few people agree with you on? Let's start with the curveball question.
Straight in. We may have overestimated the depth of the internet market in India too soon.
Can you elaborate on that?
It's a long elaboration. Just work with me here. So if you think about venture investing in general over the last 50, 60 years, or 100 years for that matter, whenever, you know, the most outsized outcomes, or rather really why venture got created, was to invest in new innovative technologies. Right. That once they hit an inflection point, will then scale disproportionately. Only Correct. Then does the entire model make sense of innovation, startups, venture, returns, and so on. I think in India, if you just unpack that statement of true innovation and technology that hits an inflection point, none of those have actually happened. Essentially, most of, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, I think it's actually not a bad thing, and I'll tell you why. Most businesses or most unicorns or startups that have been built basically converting offline to online, right? So simply right. something that was happening offline, how do I digitize it or bring it online? Right. Now, that is not necessarily core technology innovation. That's more really that specific offline business that you're running with a digital presence. As a result, you know, you can become a lot more efficient at certain ways of doing things, but it doesn't warrant the same type of venture investing that led to venture type outcomes over the last, let's say, 50, 60 years. So as a result, I think when I look back at the last decade, I came back to India in 2013, right? So I came back on this whole premise. I actually think that there's not, like, in the quest of trying to make a lot of these businesses feel venture investable, similar to, you know, US social networking or search or e-commerce back in the day, we put way too much money at work. And there's, that may not have been a good thing, because these businesses, no matter what you do, are going to take certain time to reach where they have to.
Understand. Can you give an example of that? So let's take Amazon in the US and Flipkart in India. Why are they different?
Because the retail market itself is not as big as, let's say, what it was in 2001 when Amazon started.
Okay.
Right. So like I said, depth of market. Simply put, you know, if there were 300 million people in the US, 200 million of them were still shopping, right? And they were still spending right. enough. I think when Flipkart started, there are two challenges. One, out of a billion people, there was not maybe more than 30 million people shopping. And second, right. you know, not many were online. So now to climb that rope, it just takes a little longer. So I'm not saying Flipkart is not a great business. I think Flipkart is a phenomenal business and can become even better. Right. But I think in the quest of all of us trying to accelerate these businesses, maybe we've not done them justice. It just, these are things that are going to take time because it's just the nature of the market.
Understand. So you feel like the amount of money that came into the ecosystem was more than it required, or 100%. Certain businesses were overcapitalized. Is that your view?
Everything was.
Okay.
I think at the rate at which it went in, honestly.
Understand.
I think the same amount of money will be needed, but right. instead of a 7 or 8 year period, I think it was more like a 15 or 20 year period.
Understand. I actually kind of agree with you. I've got a sense that India is both an overcapitalized and undercapitalized market. At the same time, this duality is fascinating to me, which means that certain businesses were pushed too hard to scale, while many other businesses, due to these certain businesses absorbing the capital, did not get funded. So yeah, I think...
Absolutely. I think I'm referring, like when you asked me about the question, I was referring to, like I said, Indian depth of Indian internet tech. Right. So I'm being very specific, right? I think there is a lot of other types of businesses, non-internet, non-Indian software, a lot of other types of businesses that I don't think have got the capital and can deserve a lot more.
Right.
I was referring to...
No, that makes sense. I do agree. And I think it's probably less about early stage investing, which I call venture investing. And I think you're referring to more of the larger ticket sizes, which were expecting more acceleration, which generally come at growth. Would that be fair?
Theoretically, yes. But I do think that a lot of the later stage money was also, trying to find the right word. The word I'm going to use, I'm not sure if anybody knows the meaning. I'm going to use cajoled. Cajoled means it was almost like pushed towards by the early stage guys. Right? Nice. Because see, here's what happens. You know, if I invest in, and again, this is, I do want to call this out. That I don't think anybody was trying to do wrong through this,
right,
including founders like me. Right. I don't think anybody was trying to do this in a way that, you know, they had wrong intent. I think everybody was trying to do the right thing at the right time. So let's say if a venture investor invests $3 million in Series A,
right?
There's an expected curve that they want those companies to then take, you know, because that's just the nature of the VC.
Understand. So you're saying the expectations came in from step zero, and then that basically defined the journey of the company. That's fair as well. And talking about journeys, you obviously are from India, but you went abroad. Talk us through that, the decision to go to the US and then to come back, both that whole journey till you, you know, get back here.
Yeah. Decision to go to the US was because I was too, I felt like in 11th and 12th grade, I was too lazy to study for IIT. So, I didn't feel like I wanted to spend like 2 years. At that time, I used to feel 2 years of my most vibrant life. But, you know, later realized at 16 and 17, you're still very much kids.
Right.
So the original motivation came here. Abhi to school khatam hua hai. I don't want to now spend 2 years or 3 years of just hardcore JEE prep. So what else is there to do? Ran into a couple of friends who said that, hey, look, you know, if you also want to get high quality engineering education, you can potentially go to the US. Now, obviously, the first, after the first level of excitement, the second thought that comes to your mind is, how am I going to be able to afford it? And does it make sense economically and so on? You know, fortunate for me, I'm the only child, so my parents didn't have to spend on multiple kids. And, you know, I think they also cared and valued about education quite a bit. And all thanks to them that it was an easy conversation to have, you know, and obviously we got financial assistance and all that. But that's besides the point. So it came from JEE nahi padhna to kya kar sakte hain. And then a couple of people said, why don't you try this route? And then that's it. You didn't really think about it more than that. Applied to a number of colleges, the standard process, did 10 college applications, you know, got into my second choice, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's Midwest, about 2.5 hours south of Chicago. It's known for cornfields and minus 40 degrees in winter. So nobody told me about the latter. Well, people warned me, but like there's one thing being warned and second when you show up. Got there. Honestly, when I went for my college, for some reason, whether it was just family, culture, values, business. It just felt like this, there was always going to be a return. I didn't feel like I wanted to, you know, work or live abroad for that matter. So even from day one, it always felt like that I will eventually work in India. Finished college. Then after that, landed up in San Francisco to start working in consulting with one of the large consulting firms. Within, I think, 2 months over there, I realized that I hate this job. You know, it wasn't something I felt intellectually stimulated. And I think that's when I realized that, you know, I get excited about building stuff. College mein thoda bahut side pe kaam kiya tha here and there. Nothing to write home about, but was, you know, did some work. My father ran his business his entire life. So I had seen like just this whole idea of what a business means. So the idea of really working in this large kind of, you know, 100,000 employee workforce where, you know, you're like at the lower rung, not sure what value you're adding, was very, very alien experience to me.
Right.
It felt very out of body. And that's when I realized ki ye nahi ho sakta life mein, kuch bhi hoga, ye nahi ho sakta.
How fast was that realization? Few months?
2-3 months, man.
Okay.
I remember, I think August I joined, October I was placed on my first project. By December, I was thinking what's next in life.
And when did you actually... Wow, that's... I mean, a lot of people go through that, but not in the first few months. When did you actually pull the trigger to then...
Yeah, I would want to thank them for making me realize this so quickly, because it was such an, like, it was such an out-of-body experience that you instantly realize that whatever you'd want to do would have to be the other extreme, right? Which is what brought me to eventually what I ended up doing. So, you know, 2-3 months. But the good thing that happened was I found myself in the San Francisco Bay Area. So,
okay.
you know, thanks to them, they moved me out there for, that was my HQ. I had no idea why I was going there, but I just landed up there.
So from minus 40 to plus something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I realized, wow, America is actually beautiful.
Right.
California is obviously gorgeous. So, yeah, I landed up there within 6 months, realized this is not what I want to do. And then said, okay, look, you know, what next? I can't go back home with this, right? That, okay, look, kuch nahi, kuch try kiya, kuch nahi ho, wapas aa gaye. So then, you know, that's when I started saying that, okay, look, you know.
This is what year, just time frame wise?
Nine. Now we're in 2009. So then I said, okay, look, and I'll come to this now, like sort of 14 years later, you know, there's something similar happening. But anyway, 2009. So, okay, look, what next? I don't know anything. I've never done anything real in my life. So where do I even start? And that's when, you know, just like any other 22-year-old, started looking at whatever the options were. Amongst one of them was just meet whoever else I know in San Francisco, just through college friends ya jo bhi aap bol lo. So, landed up meeting a friend randomly, a friend of a friend rather, who said ki, arre main startup mein kaam karta hu. So I said, wo kya hota hai? So he said that, arre, we are in Silicon Valley, you don't know what this is. So, you know, I still remember over a drink, you know, San Francisco bar, he told me all about what this is, right? So the way he walked me through is, so you join a startup or you start a company, then you raise VC money. All the VCs are based in San Francisco. Then you get ESOP. Fir ek din koi aake tumhari company kharidega. Fir tumko ESOP ka bahut sara paisa milega. So, you know, he walked me through sort of all of this about just the tech industry. And I said, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is very good. Yaar. Ye toh, matlab, I can join somewhere. I'll get a bunch of ESOP. Companies will raise money and eventually somebody will buy and I'll make a lot of money. This sounds like a good choice of life. But also what happened at that time was interesting was the App Store just came out. So 2009.
Right.
So this was like
And
peak,
you
like.
left your job at just the start of a recession as well.
I had not left yet, so I was
Okay,
still working.
planning
So
to leave.
I did not pull because I was on a visa, right? So what would I do?
Right.
I was on
Right.
the
Okay.
H-1B.
But you were planning to leave even then. I mean, when people were getting laid off left, right, and center.
बट सिलिकॉन वैली में तो अलग मूड था ना उस समय, बिकॉज
राइट.
आईफोन लॉन्च हुआ था वहां पे, तो ऑपोजिट ऑफ रिसेशन हो रहा था.
अच्छा.
अभी तो ऐप
इंटरेस्टिंग.
स्टोर लॉन्च हुआ है, अभी तो मतलब 20 साल बाद नया प्लेटफॉर्म आया है आफ्टर द इंटरनेट. तो
करेक्ट.
देयर इट वाज अ फुल डिफरेंट सीन.
वाइब.
सो एनीवे, सो लॉन्ग स्टोरी शॉर्ट, मेट दिस गाय, लर्न अबाउट इट. आईफोन जस्ट लॉन्च, घूम फिर के अ ईयर लेटर आई एंडेड अप जॉइनिंग दिस कंपनी कॉल्ड फ्लरी,
ओके.
वेयर वी वर बेसिकली प्रोवाइडिंग ऐप एनालिटिक्स. सो गूगल एनालिटिक्स फॉर मोबाइल ऐप्स.
गॉट इट. व्हाट ऐप एनी इज लाइक टुडे इन सम सेंस.
हाँ, बट हमारा वाज मोर द गूगल रूट, व्हिच इज यू हैव टू
ओके.
एम्बेड एन एसडीके जस्ट लाइक अ
अंडरस्टैंड. एंड
जावास्क्रिप्ट
देन
कोड एंड
क्रॉल
स्टैक.
एंड व्हाटएवर.
Basically, the idea was that look, again, join this, let's see where this goes. I joined as employee number 20. By the time I left in 13, the company was about 300 people. I joined when we were $0 in revenue. By the time I left, we were 70 million, 70 in ARR. And then we got acquired a few years later by Yahoo after I left. And then your other part was journey to moving back. So अब क्या हुआ दैट व्हेन आई वाज एट दिस स्टार्टअप, विद इन सिमिलर टू द प्रीवियस कॉलिंग, विद इन 2 months आई रियलाइज कि बस यही करना है लाइफ में. ओके, तो पहले था कि ये नहीं करना बिल्कुल भी, और विद इन 2 months रियलाइज कि यही करना है. आई जस्ट लव द एनर्जी. I told you I felt like I was always a builder. So just being in the trenches, seeing crises day after day, I said, yes, this is what I love. Like one day you have a high, the second day you have a low. And fortunately, that time I wasn't a founder, so I was just seeing founders go through it. The way things change, the trading flow mentality of the work. It just felt like it didn't feel like work was work, even though I was one of the junior most people in the company. I was pretty much working all the time. I looked forward to it. Like I used to actually sometimes not like weekends because main karunga kya, So it was in that sense, just felt like everything that I wanted. So very quickly realized that this is what I want to do. And ideally, whatever I do, I want to do it myself. Realized very quickly कि बस यही करना है. दिस इज टू मच फन. दिस इज द वे ऑफ लाइफ दैट आई वॉन्टेड टू बी. एंड देन ऑब्वियसली कमिंग फ्रॉम वेर आई केम फ्रॉम, बॉम्बे, डैड हैड अ बिजनेस, ऑल ऑफ दैट फेल लाइक कि दिस वे ऑफ लाइफ हैज टू बी माई ओन.
राइट.
नॉट इकोनॉमिकली ड्रिवन, बट मोर सो दैट्स द ओनली वे टू कंटिन्यू फ्रॉम हियर. एंड एनीथिंग लेस देन दैट आई वुडन्ट बी डूइंग जस्टिस टू एवरीथिंग आई हैव इन्वेस्टेड और लर्न सो फार. सो फिर उसके बाद हमने क्या किया दैट हमने सो स्वपन कम्स इन नाउ. सो स्वपन इज माई को फाउंडर एंड सी टी ओ एट हैप्टेक. वी वर इन कॉलेज टुगेदर, वी वर रूममेट्स इन कॉलेज.
Also from India? Is he
ही
also from
ग्रो अप
India?
इन द मिडल ईस्ट.
Oh, okay.
वो तुमने
Understood.
वो एलिफ पिक्चर देखी, एलिफ पिक्चर,
Elif, airlift,
एयरलिफ्ट,
airlift. हाँ
एयरलिफ्ट.
हाँ
हाँ,
हाँ
तो वो एयरलिफ्ट वाले वो प्लेन में था, मतलब उसको लेके आए थे ऐसा उधर से. हाँ
Oh, really? Okay. Amazing.
यार सो ही
So
ग्रू अप इन
quite
कुवैत. तो
interesting. So your co-founder became a mini celebrity as a kid.
या तो अभी जब भी कहीं जब किसी के पास भी जाता है, ही ऑलवेज मेंशंस दिस.
ओके.
इट्स अ गुड स्टार्टिंग पॉइंट फॉर अ स्टोरी. सो
एब्सोल्युटली.
So Swapan and I went college together, and then a little after I joined Flurry, he pinged me saying that, hey, look, he was also at a consulting firm, and he pinged me saying, yeah, this is not what I want to do. I said, hey, you took 2 years to realize. I realized
Yes.
this in a couple of months. And he said that, I've been thinking of taking a course in iPhone app development. And I wanted to reach out to you, given that now you work in the space.
Right.
So I said, yeah, let's keep chatting. Let's see what we can do. Long story short, he took the course. He did that. Ye wo. And humne, dono ne milke, we started making mobile apps.
Okay.
As a side project.
And this is when both of you were still at your respective places.
We were both in the US and we were both... No, I had moved on to Flurry. I was at Flurry and Swapan was still with his consulting gig. So, humne bola ki nights and weekends pe ye karenge. Waise bhi kuch karne ko hai nahi. Nights and weekends pe beyond this. So, why not build apps? So, then that was the first taste of what you can say entrepreneurship, for the lack of a better word. So, humne pehli mobile app banai, which was the snake game for the iPhone. So, humne bola ki humko snake bada pasand tha when we were growing up. iPhone pe kuch snake nahi hai, but I want to bring it back. So, we made the snake game on the iPhone. And, you know, that was, like I said, the first taste of like, okay, look, we can maybe do something in life. We built it, launched it. 2 months later, it was ranked number 4 on the US App Store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we grossed 3 million downloads. And this is a hustle side weekend project, by the way. Okay, so 3 million downloads. Humne dal diye the sabke sab ad feed. Google ka ad feed, Facebook ka ad feed. To karte karte, I think within a year, between the two of us, we made something like 300K.
Hmm.
Okay, now 23-year-old side project, 150K each, ye wo. To hum to matlab pagal ho gaye. Humne bola ki boss, main to matlab, you know,
ye karunga puri zindagi.
I think we can really, we are meant for much bigger things.
Right.
So that's around that same time when we then both of us seriously started thinking about, okay, look, on a serious note, you know, we think we can do this. We built something nice. We enjoy working with each other. He's the tech guy. I'm the product manager. So maybe we can do a lot more and we can do it with a lot more intent and perseverance and dedication versus, you know, just right. Doing it like this. So that's when the idea said that, okay, look, let's start a company. And that's when the last part of of your question gets answered, is that then we said, okay, look, you know, as we think about doing this, US, India, how do we think about where our best chances are? I came to India for a month while visiting. And I spent some time here back in 2010. And I realized, us time Flipkart tha, Ola tha, aur kuch nahi tha. And baki then there was, Ola bhi I think chalu hi ho raha tha. And then there was a bunch of other companies. I went for an unplugged event to Bangalore mein, unplugged.in event rakha tha. And wahan pe 50 log the, and that was the 50 people in the internet ecosystem in India. I ended up meeting a bunch of them and, you know, felt like there's a lot that can happen. And then, made my way back over here eventually to start Haptic.
And can you talk about what Haptic started off as and what was the problem you identified?
Yeah, so it started from at Flurry. We had a number of customers who were in the messaging space. And one of them was also WhatsApp. So we had all these apps who used to use our analytics. So I noticed that their engagement was just insane back like 11, 12 years back as well. Particularly like basically hum kya bolte the ki sabse zyada engagement tabhi bhi aur aaj bhi in mobile apps is on gaming. The only other category that showed this crazy engagement was messaging or communications. So the thought came from there that, look, there's something over here, right? There's something that can be built as a large business within this whole messaging space. Pehle to humara initial thought tha ki chalo ek WhatsApp ka alternate banate hain, right? Like, let's make, you know, another better app, because that time WhatsApp was very popular, but still not obviously where it is today. So we said, maybe that's an opportunity. But then we realized very early on ki look, they have enough tailwinds where the network effects are already starting to kick in. So it may not make sense. So then we said, okay, look, what are the other problems? And we landed on this problem that, look, how are businesses going to leverage this capability to transact and engage with customers? So we said, okay, look, let's build on the business user engagement side. We believe...
This thought process took how long, like as you're evolving on these ideas? This was a few months or...
No, good question. I think mid-2011 is when we started thinking about it. I think by the time we rolled our first app out was mid-2012, but we were still not full-time. By the time we rolled it out and we were full-time and all of that was end-2013.
So 3 years from ideation to actually getting a product. But yeah, so the ideation process, did you actually try building something consumer and then decide to pivot to the business side, or that was something that happened early on? And then how did you guys, you know, maybe get your first customer? Did you have a customer before you launched an app, or you launched first?
Yeah. So maybe I'll fast track a little bit to overall haptic journey. So overall haptic journey is basically three phases. We're going to complete 10 years this year. Phase one, we said we are going to build the Google Assistant of India. So essentially the problem that I told you, how will businesses and users chat, we will go directly to consumers. So we will build an app where consumers will come. They will ask all types of questions. And then we'll start integrating brands within that, such that brands can directly answer questions through our own platform.
Okay.
So that was V1. We spent 4 years and about 16 million trying to build that. After which we realized that it's not working because of a few things. First is the core Google Assistant, Amazon Alexa, that use case just didn't work at a macro. People just didn't want to do it that way, right? Like even all of us, we've just not been used to like these messaging or chat driven assistants.
Right.
Second was, agar aapko khali businesses ka problem solve karna hai, so typically when you, me and I have genuinely an issue with businesses, hum unki website pe jaate hain, hum unki app pe jaate hain, hum thodi na, we won't come
on go and talk to a third party. Yeah, it's a third party. Yeah.
Correct. So that was the second. So both these things meant that the core sort of use case combined with monetization wasn't working. Luckily, we had some money in a bank. That came phase two. So phase two was a bunch of trial and error. We started, we built like 3-4 products in parallel.
Okay.
We pivoted the haptic app to do something different. We built another app, which was a more utility productivity app. And then because we had built so much infrastructure on the chatbot itself, because of the nature of the assistant,
mm-hmm.
we said ki maybe other businesses may find it useful as a licensed software. So that was a B2B angle. So that was second phase. Those for 2 years, we were just doing a lot of these things.
Just experimenting with different ideas and selling your infrastructure as a B2B.
So that happened for till about mid-18. And then mid-18, sort of Jio came along and they basically said that, look, there's a lot that you guys have built, which is exciting, but we particularly like this B2B aspect. Because we have a thesis that we believe that you will consume a ton of conversational AI as Reliance. So if we will, then every enterprise in the world will. As a result, you can probably build a large business here. So we said, okay, if you say so. then they invested and acquired majority. And then that's been phase three since then, which is the last 4 years, which has been a hardcore B2B SaaS company.
How is the... method of working, or how is it working with Reliance? I know people have many opinions from the outside, but you have an insider's view as an outsider. So what was your impression of them, and did that change during the journey? How was the experience?
So now the curveballs come. I've answered this very publicly many times. Yeah, I have nothing but good things to say in general. I have been extremely fortunate, impressed, happy, call it all those words, to be a part of the ecosystem. And I'll walk you through in terms of sort of 2-3 examples and ways that this has worked out, right? you know, when they first approached us, or rather we, it was a mutual, we had, so we reached out to them actually as a customer. So we reached out to them saying, humko, you know, we want to, as part of our B2B infrastructure, we think Reliance can use it. They quickly picked it up and said, no, no, you know, Manoj Modi wants to meet you. So, pehle to matlab us samay to, this is like 5-6 years back, right? Tabhi to Jio internet kuch tha nahi, to first question to sabko sab poochha hi, Manoj Modi kaun hai? So, you know, and then obviously we were told that you know, he's a senior most person at Reliance and very respected. So you know, when we went into the conversation and then we came out, the one thing that everybody constantly told us around us was that, look, you know, be careful what you sign up for, because of the perception that they're an interfering group and they will not let you run your business the way you are, the way you want to. During the discussions, we point blank basically asked MM this, because, you know, what do like two 27-year-olds, hey, you submit 27, so 29, we had a lot to lose, but point being that, you know, as young entrepreneurs, you, without knowing much, you can still ask these questions. So we asked them very point blank that, look, how will the operations work? Will we be employees of Reliance? And we said, not, we said, we don't, we're not saying what is right or wrong. We are just asking that, what do you imagine the structure to be? Will we be employees of Reliance? Will we be a subsidiary, but then you have a very certain way of running your companies? Or will we be an investment, in which case, you know, we'll do what we think is right for the business, where, of course, as a board and as a parent, you give us direction. And, you know, without even flinching an eye, he looked just straight up eye to eye and he said, with everybody, we are doing this in the internet ecosystem. We only wanted to be the third, which is we invest in you and you do the do what you need to. And we will, as a parent and as a board, continue to obviously have all the required controls and guidance that we need to. So we said, ki, okay, but then again, we came back and said, okay, look, bolne ke liye to acha hai, but, you know, we'll see sort of what this eventually means. But there was enough conviction, trust, so we went ahead. It's exactly the way that's played out. And now it's 4 years coming up in like a month. And by the way, the best, anybody who asks you that question, I always answer back with saying that, look, look, even if you know me a little bit, and going back to 30 minutes back when you asked me about where I started, I wouldn't have been here 4 years. And I wouldn't have been in this structure 4 years if I didn't feel I was still building and growing something that I felt excited about. So that's at least as the haptic Jio relationship. And they've been very good about honoring all the things we spoke about, agreements, yeah, they're pretty good about it, honestly. I do also think that there is a genuine intent to leave a lot of the new age businesses alone, because I think there is a genuine intent to think that they may not know how some of these things have to be done. So it's better that they learn from folks like us, not learn, but more like see what we have to bring. Now, in terms of obviously the other part is what have been my experiences or observations is working with them as maybe a customer or even just observing them and the way they operate. And I always tell everybody this, it's the most unique corporate culture, I think, anywhere in the world. I don't think anybody can have such a culture, and I don't think anybody can even replicate it. And it will never work for anybody else also. It's a very, very unique way of doing things, that whether I look at a lot of our customers who we work with in India, which are also big corporates, or a lot of my friends who work at the Googles and Facebooks of the world, it's extremely unique. It's something that almost feels like they've mastered over a period of time. And actually, I feel that's part of the secret sauce.
Hmm. Can you elaborate on that? I'm curious to understand what that culture is. Like, if you can take a parallel or an example with, let's say, a Google or a Facebook.
It's extremely top heavy. And they're very proud of that, which is the difference, right? If you go to a Facebook or a Google, the executives over there, even if there is a lot of direction and micromanagement that comes from the top, they will shy away from it. Because that's not cool, you know, but not with Reliance, right? I think they're very proud of the fact that they are so meticulous and attention to detail driven on every aspect. And my conclusion has been, not conclusion, but one inference has been that maybe that's the only way to build a sustainable large business in India. Maybe in India, it's just the culture, nature, where we are as a country, demographic, economic parity, all that, where to really get things done and to really move at the pace that you need to, maybe that's the only way. Maybe the way of the US is not really going to work. That's been one sort of very strong observation, which also means that the kind of talent they bring on board is very should be very comfortable working within that. I think the you'll notice there are two types of folks at Reliance. There'll be one category who have spent more than 10 years, and they're likely never going to go anywhere else. And then there's a second category who've not spent more than 2 years.
Middle.
So you realize that there is anybody who's able to cross that inflection point, then it's just, no matter what you do, these people are just so accustomed to that culture and, creating that long value that is very difficult to sort of for them to do anything else. So I think one is that they're proud of the fact that it's top heavy. Second is, MMA told me this once that they are not scared to make fast decisions, but they are equally quick at reversing decisions. So the space at which they make multi-billion dollar decisions, I am sometimes just blown away. It takes me longer sometimes to make decisions at our scale, even though we are a startup, right? But then they also roll back things at an equally sort of quick pace. And that I, theoretically, when I'm telling you this, I'm, you're like, acha, how does that actually work? You can't say, you just have to witness it, right? When it actually happens, when it's just like you did something, made a big call, a week or 10 days later, kind of flip back to it. Really, like, how do you make sure you manage everybody around you, stakeholders, employees, teams, everybody? So I think that's just phenomenal. And third, is, and that maybe I won't be able to go deeper because that involves maybe some information that only, I can't share publicly. But I think what I've also realized is they are very, there is a playbook to everything they do, and they every single time play within their what they call their core competence. Like I think like all the businesses that they end up scaling, I feel are within a certain playbook of way of doing things, which involves like, kind of one, two, three steps ranging from let's do this first, then this, then this, then that. And if they realize that the playbook can work on a large market, they will go disrupt that market.
Thank you for that really interesting insight into how things work. But wanted to kind of take a bit of a macro view for the conversational AI space in general. What are your views? You've had a chance over the years to try out many stuff, both on the consumer and the business side. Perhaps for aspiring entrepreneurs are listening. What are some of the exciting spaces for you in the industry as a whole?
In conversational AI or AI at large?
Maybe start with conversational AI and then AI at large, just because we know ChatGPT, that's been a theme and everyone's been talking about it. So.
See, conversational AI, I think there's a lot of exciting applications, especially, of course, with the favorite new kid on the block, ChatGPT.
You think they can make money though? I mean, that's what I wonder. I feel like it's like a cool toy. It's a shiny new thing,
We'll see. See, I think there is there's a search use case, which if they're able to do really well, then absolutely, right? I mean, that's like just this gigantic monopoly opportunity that they can capture. I think the enterprise use case might also be interesting, which is the stuff that Microsoft is trying to do now, which is try to take it to enterprises. Look, I'll be very candid, and I think everybody knows this to some degree, and you can also perceive this from the outside. My expectation of conversational AI was a lot more. And I've kind of been a bit, disappointed is not the right word, underwhelmed by just how we've played out over the last 10 years. And I actually think the challenge is not so much the technology. I think technology can do a good job, and not ChatGPT is here. I think if you refer to pure conversational AI, which is back and forth multi-turn interactions, going back to what I told you about Google and Amazon Alexa, I just don't think people care about it as much. Like, in fundamentally consumers, I don't think they find enough utility from the design or the interface. Whether it's a personal assistant use case, whether it is a business messaging use case, whether it is anything else, you know, and we've attempted all types of things. We did, besides the B2B customer service stuff we're doing today, you know, we've tried to build a spiritual guide on conversational AI, where you can basically come and say, hey, I'm feeling very low today, what should I do? We once built a productivity assistant who will remind you of all your key tasks in a day. So we've done a lot of stuff. I think voice AI in the contact center has a lot of applications. So, you know, ultimately a lot of your phone calls you made to customer care, I think a lot of that stuff can be very useful. But the consumer large use case of, look, people are going to use this all across the board, I think has been underwhelming. I think the ChatGPT piece is interesting mainly due to search. Like, if you can replace search, and your search results can, instead of looking like blue links, can start looking like long answers. And that can be super powerful. Coming to AI, I think that is a different ballgame. I think a large space that people should look at is verticalized AI solutions within certain industries. So if I was to build an AI company again today, I would pick a certain vertical that is large at the same time niche. Let's say healthcare, you could take agri. You could take defense and think about the data set that exists over there across multiple touch points in an enterprise, and how you can use a data set to build intelligent models to ultimately build solutions that are a lot more automatic, intelligent, that can solve a lot of inefficiencies within those enterprises. So I think generative AI is only a technology. ChatGPT is only a technology. All these things are APIs that ultimately need to get used to build solutions. And if you do it verticalized, I think those could be some massive businesses.
Some great advice and ideas for our listeners, for sure. But one question, I think you spoke about one use case that I'm personally curious about, you know, customer engagement. And I'm sure you faced with this challenge as well as you went through your journey with Haptik. How do you ensure that it doesn't become spam, and how do you ensure the quality of engagements, right? It's a thin line.
Yeah, I think, we obviously measure all of that, and we continue to measure many of these things. I'm not so worried about like the spam or the privacy piece. Also because, like I said, the consumer applications have become a lot lesser, right? So now if a lot of the applications are going to be within B2B enterprise, I think the enterprises have a very high bar on some of these things. So they'll control some of the spam, content moderation, as well as, just the nature of the AI as well. So for example, you know, we have two models that we run at Haptik, supervised and unsupervised. Supervised model basically means that, look, any single time something does not work within your sort of AI assistant, the model will alert somebody, and then a human will go in and correct it. Unsupervised, the model will correct itself. Most enterprises are a lot more skeptical of doing the latter because they feel a bit worried that, look, what if the bot says something that we don't want to? So as a result, I think in B2B and enterprise use cases, which is where most of the stuff is emerging, you'll find that sort of there'll be enough controls driven by just brands and enterprises because they have too much to lose.
As your journey at Haptik has evolved, you've also kind of started trying your own hand out in the venture space. So would love to hear a bit about your experiences as an investor and what are some of the things that you look for?
Yeah, I've been angel investing for 5 years. We're six now. Obviously, started doing a lot more once I had some money after the Reliance investment. Total portfolio of about 80 companies across various sectors and spaces. Honestly, got into it much like every founder does, which is some friend called and said, "Hey, listen, I need some help. Can you help me? And I also need 5 lakh rupees." So it sort of started out kind of in that way. I realized that I like it a lot from the following aspects. One, just I felt like after you built a business, also built a business in so many different formats and so much struggle up and down, there is enough you can kind of give back as just, help and advice to other founders. And I also started seeing that founders were resonating and liking that. So that exchange and dialogue of just helping a founder solve problem, I think was solve problems was quite a bit of fun. And then I realized that, look, this may not be a bit better. This may not be a bad asset class from an investment perspective, because to my earlier point, if businesses were taking off in India, there was a lot of growth stage capital available and the VCs were pushing for it, right? So as these angels, you had enough ways to get a good return on your capital as well. So that's how I got into it. Been incredible fun. Now we recently set up PeerCheck, which is a syndicate that I run now, where we tend to invest closer to 200 to 300K in check sizes. Yeah, having a lot of fun doing it. What do I look for in companies? Again, has become through trial and error, I think I figured it out. I think I realize as angels, you're going to be successful if you look for companies that have the potential of outsized outcomes. So what I mean by that is that I am okay if the company fails, but I'm not okay if the company's maximum outcome is a $500 million outcome. Because if I bet at a portfolio level and I pick many of those, then it's not going to make sense long term from a IRR perspective. But if I bet across a portfolio level and math says that 2 out of 100 become maybe a $5-10 billion outcome over 5, 7, 10 years, then that makes all of it worth it, at least from an investment perspective. So one, it has to be like an out, the potential has to be an outsized outcome. The second, of course, at the angel side, for me, it's all about the founder and the team. My personal journey, as you can tell from where I went to what I did and ended up where, right? So it's very much the same case with most founders. As long as your heart is in it, you're perseverant, and you have enough reason not to fail, you're going to figure something out. So I think that second is extremely important, which is the founder. And then the third is, to some degree, timing, which is that maybe the market is large, maybe the founder is great, but maybe this idea is not for today. It was for either 5 years back or it is for 10 years from today. So at least broadly, it has to fit in the bucket of, why today.
I think interesting framework. As a seed investor, probably look for similar things. Founder market, obviously, can it be a large outcome? But perhaps we don't have the liberty to do as many investments, so we go through some more parameters, at least to satisfy ourselves that we've done the diligence. I think eventually you can never really tell which company is going to be successful. So I think all of us at every stage are doing some sort of portfolio construction. People pejoratively call it spray and pray. I think that's the way you make money in venture, honestly. Like, you can never know which company is going to be successful. And probabilistically, it's going to be like the India unicorn hit rate is 2.5% from a seed level. So your ballpark, right, 2 in 100 will make money. What's next for you and what's next for Haptik? Personally, professionally, how are you thinking?
Haptics in a good place. We are scaling well, we're growing well. I think there are some key milestones to achieve over the next few months and years that I want to definitely see through. Beyond that, I think Haptik itself presents a very exciting company to build for as long as it takes. But who knows? I think I'll see at that point. I think it's no secret that Haptik's not going to be my first or last for that matter. I think that there is enough exciting things to go build globally that too. So we'll see kind of when that time comes. But right now, that like I said, there are some key milestones and goals to achieve at Haptik. And honestly, the next few months and maybe 18 months or so is going to be really key inflection point for that company to then see where that goes. We'll continue to do the venture investing angel stuff. That's a lot of fun. And then kind of see where we go from there.
Awesome. And just to close out, what's one piece of unfiltered feedback you've received in your journey as an entrepreneur, majorly, because I think that's most of what you've done that changed your perspective or made you think differently.
You are not a good
One piece of
leader.
advice.
You are not a good leader. Actually, two. You are not a
Okay.
good leader. And how are we going to make money?
Okay. Okay.
The first one was, yeah, the first one is actually in these many words by an employee.
Oh, really? Okay.
An employee of Haptik who, while leaving, he basically said that I'm leaving because, and it was a very calm conversation where he was just like, yeah, it didn't work out. It's like, okay. And so then I said, chal, tu ja raha hai types. So any feedback for me? I asked this question, any feedback? And I didn't expect this
Okay.
to come, right? I'm like, chal,
Unfiltered feedback.
yeah, this was really unfiltered. I said ki main feedback bolega ki acha type back karo kuch karo. I thought ki something like that ki don't scream so much, just that. So I asked any feedback for me, and he's like, you're not a good leader.
Oh my God.
I think you are a manager. You are not somebody who knows how to lead. It was also a period of time, to be fair to him, that I was going through a low period. Haptik was going through a low period, so maybe I was a little bit more eccentric. But that definitely, to answer your question, made me think, go back, reflect, that what could I do better. And I think, to be honest and fair to this person, since then it's been like generally my 360s on, obviously, a 360 feedback went from your team. The CEO is always going to get the worst, right? But in general, they have been better over the years because I've
Right.
consciously thought about how to get things done. Yeah, and then the second one was, Series B, post investment, after the round was done, we're sitting on our first board meeting, presenting the full plan about MAU, DAU, GMV, transactions, retention. And then, after all that is done, the guy, our investor guy says, so how are we ever going to make money? I said, I've not really thought about that.
सोचा था
तो अभी तक हम 2016 17 में है, हमको तो किसी ने बताया नहीं कैसे सोचते हैं इसके बारे में.
Oh man, funny.
हाँ
But I think both good must have been important piece of advice for you and made you reflect. I think they would have contributed to your journey. So thank you for sharing. Thanks, Akrit, for doing this. Really enjoyed the conversation. I think we covered so many different aspects that many founders have not gone through. Like you started your company, did multiple pivots, were building an AI much before it was hot today, sold to a large conglomerate and now you're venture investing. So many fascinating aspects of your journey. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.